It is wonderful to be with you once again on this humid, hot night in Henry's house. I received a call from a lady this morning who inquired, "Robert, what is the significance of the phallic symbol of Shiva? Why do thousands of Hindus worship this phallic symbol? After all, isn't the symbol a penis?" So I sort of laughed and I said, "May I answer this question at the class?" And she said, "Yes." So I will answer this question with a story. Thousands of years ago, in the dense forest of India, there lived a group of sadhus, or should I say pseudo-sadhus. They were really hypocrites. They would imagine they're going into samadhi to see who can stay longer in samadhi. They would debate scripture for hours and argue over it and have fights over it. They would imagine they have kriyas and they would shake all over and dance all over. They were putting on these acts. The sadhus were all married to beautiful women. The women were all virgins. For they wouldn't touch them. They think it was impure. So the women remained virgins. They were very passionate women. And they wanted to have love. But the sadhus wanted to show how pure they were. Now Shiva heard of this. And he said, "I must punish these people." And he therefore took the form of a young boy with a beautiful body, handsome features, and he appeared naked in the sadhus' camp. When all the wives saw this good-looking guy naked, they became real passionate. They wanted him. And so he made love to all of his wives at one time, which is a hard thing to do.
Shiva.
Well, Shiva can do anything. The sadhus heard about this. And they became angry. They didn't know this was Shiva. And they said to each other, "We must get revenge." And they took out a book of curses. They found a real good curse. And they put the curse on Shiva. Shiva was just about to make love again to all of the wives when his penis dropped off. A heck of a position to be in. At the same time, the sun stopped shining and the moon stopped shining. Everything was pitch black. The sadhus then understood that this young man was Shiva. And they said, "We must ask forgiveness. He came to teach us a lesson. We did this to him. We must beg his forgiveness or we'll never see daylight again." They started to search for Shiva everywhere, but they couldn't find him. all they found was the penis. They therefore picked it up, put it on a pedestal, and started to worship it. Shiva saw all this and felt sorry for them, and made the sun come back again, and the moon to shine once more. And to this very day, millions of Hindus worship the phallic symbol of Shiva. What is the moral of this story? When some of you guys are making love to somebody else's wife, watch out. You never know what's going to happen. You can give it any moral you want. What does this story have to do with Advaita Vedanta? Together?
Very little.
Absolutely nothing.
That's what I thought. I knew that.
So here we are. The truth is, of course, that there are no sadhus, there's no Shiva, there's no penis, there's no universe, there's no ignorance, there's no enlightenment. There is nothing that exists. Absolutely nothing exists. And the nothing doesn't even exist. There's nothing more to say. Everything is zero. Yet, it appears to us that everything does exist. Look how involved we become in the world. Just look at your life this very day and see the things you are involved in. The thoughts that came to you, the actions you took. As long as you believe the world is real, you must suffer accordingly. As long as you feel the body is real, then the world is real to you. And we talk about karma and reincarnation and all these other things we talk about. Doesn't that mean a thing? They have no significance whatsoever. We're talking about the ineffable. Something beyond words and thoughts. Something beyond. Something beyond. Yet it's so beautiful. But there's nothing to say. There is something there. When you go beyond consciousness, beyond beingness, beyond pure awareness. But yet it's not something at all. For when you think of something, you're thinking of a thing. A thing that you can think about, something that you can feel perhaps. Something that you can identify with. It is beyond all that. There's absolutely nothing that can be said about it. You can't even experience it. For to experience it, there must not be a you. The you has to be transcended, transmuted. Therefore, you can never experience this ineffable. And when the you is gone and no longer is there, there is no longer an experience. For again, there has to be a you to experience something. When the you is gone, who is to experience anything? The experiencer has been totally transcended, and the experience has been totally transcended. You are that. This is why the sayings like Tat Svam Asi, thou art that, Satchitananda, are words that have no definition, no explanation. When we say you are that, do not try to evaluate that. For if you begin to evaluate it, you're using your mind, of course, and you'll come up with all sorts of answers. You will say, well, that is pure awareness. That is nirvana. But that's not what it is at all. It has no name. It has no shape. It has no dimension. It is nothing that a human mind can ever comprehend. It is beyond the human mind. It is beyond nirvana, beyond pure awareness. It is not a thing, it is not a thought, it is not a feeling, it is not an emotion. It is simply that. When we talk about Advaita Vedanta, we talk about the five elements, the three gunas, the food body. All this talk is nonsense. It's exactly what it is, spiritual talk. Spiritual talk gets you nowhere. Spiritual talk is for novices. People who are still debating, trying to win points, trying to come up with answers, asking all sorts of questions, debating spiritual points. All this is nonsense. So the wise person keeps silent. In the silence, there will come a time when you become that. We're not talking about absolute reality. Those are just words. Pure awareness, more words. We're talking about that. That may happen during the story I told you about Shiva and the phallic symbol. There's really a reason for me telling you this story. It is one of the awakening stories. If you think about this story, you can awaken through it. This is why I tell you once in a while that everything we do here is for awakening. Do not take the words literally. Try to read between the lines. Everything is for awakening. But yet if you come in here all filled up with so-called knowledge, ideas, concepts from all of your spiritual training, you're never going to get it. The way to come in here is with an open heart. Where there's no question whether you know something or you don't know something. They're both imposters and keep you tied into Maya. If you think you know something, you're tied into Maya. And if you think you're empty and you don't know something, you're still tied into Maya. We want to get beyond this. Even when you say to yourself, I want to experience nothing, that too is Maya. People continue to ask me, Robert, why don't you give interviews? Why don't you advertise? Why don't you let people know you're here? You're going to have hundreds of people coming. Well, as I explained to some of you, 99% of the people in Los Angeles have been on spiritual paths and they're all burnt out. When they go to a meeting, they come to meetings with sarcasm. With, let's see what this guy knows attitude. Let's see how much knowledge he has. And they ask the same questions over and over again that countless hundreds have asked before. So we're not looking for numbers. We're not looking for anything. As I told you on Sunday, most of you are making excellent progress. I talk to you on the phone, I see you at lunch. We're doing very well. To continue, we have to shut up. We have to learn to control the emotion. We have to look at this world without reacting. We have to let go of all desires. By desires, I mean we have to let go of the idea that we want to better our life. Improve our lot. All of these ideas and thoughts keep you back. Do not wonder if you're making progress. Do not analyze yourself. If you're coming to see me, I will take care of all of that for you. There's absolutely nothing you have to do. It is humility, compassion, love, peace that you begin to develop. As many of you have told me, I'm feeling more peace and love than I've ever felt in my life. This is not an accident. You deserve it. Some of you have let go of all of your fears that you've carried for years. Some of you have gotten rid of the chip on your shoulder that you've carried for years, believing everybody's out to get you. You're beginning to understand that there's no you to get. In other words, you're no longer hurtable. Some of you feel nothing at all is happening to you. In the same way you always were. Not to worry. As long as you come to satsang, you will be taken care of. All is well. The universe is not what you think it is. Nothing is what you think it is. You are not what you think you are. Do not concern yourself about your life. Do not concern yourself about your body, about your affairs. You can only live like this when you live spontaneously. When when you live in the very second of existence. In this very second, there is only that which always was and will always be. You have to catch yourself in that split second. That split second is eternity. You are that eternity. Do not bother to look for eternity. Do not even look for that split second. Just be it. For when you look for it, you're using your mind. And your mind is a product of time and space. Therefore, if you try to find a split second with your mind, you'll never find it. When you just are, in this very beingness, you are in that split second of eternity. It's really so simple. I tell you this all the time. Just be. Do not be this or that. Just be. Just say to yourself, I am. When you say to yourself, I am, then you are just being. You feel wonderful when you just are. As some of you are feeling right now. It's wonderful to drop everything, to let go of everything, and begin to understand there's nothing to fear and there's nothing to fight. That feeling comes to you without the words. You just become that. If you have to say it, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to fight. Then you are lying to yourself because you feel fear and you feel there's something to fight. You cannot voice these things. Never try to voice these things I'm telling you. Well, remember, when you voice it, there has to be someone left to voice it. There has to be an experiencer and an experience. When the experience and the experiencer are gone, then you are at home in the ineffable. Some of you still believe that realization is when you resolve your problems. You believe when you become liberated, then things will be the way that you want them to be. But I tell you, this is a bunch of hogwash. What's hogwash? Well, it's hogwash. When you experience the self, there are no longer any problems to remove, to resolve. When you become that, that no longer feels that there ever was a problem or a mistake or a negative condition or a positive condition. Don't you see that knows nothing about these things? Say you're dying of cancer. And you tell everybody, I'm going to Robert's class. Because when I realize myself, I will not have cancer any longer. You do not understand the teaching. When you awaken, there's no such thing as cancer. There's no such thing as health. For there's no such thing as a body who has these things. These things will never be in your mind again. We will not have a mind to think them with. Therefore, again, let me remind you, this teaching not to change negative conditions into positive conditions. We're not here to improve our lives. We're here to get rid of our lives in their entirety. Only when you believe you are a body do you want to improve your life. And become healthy, wealthy, and wise. When you understand what I'm talking about, you'll realize there's no one left to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Of course, others may look at you. They will simply see themselves. That's why I say again, when there are too many people who come here to this class, I get telephone calls from people, newcomers all the time. Ask me the same question. Robert, do you go to the bathroom? Do you eat? Do you sleep like us? Do you do this? Do you do that? How come you can't do magic? Walk through the walls? Become invisible? This is important to these people. They believe this is what it's all about. Can you imagine what would happen if I sat there and materialized some gold coins? What do you think would happen?
Put you on offer.
He's an American Sai Baba.
It'd be a fight.
Can't imagine what would happen. Well, people give credence to a cult, to siddhas. This is important to them. They still believe when you become enlightened, you develop magical powers. You can read thoughts. Remember again, only when there's an ego and a mind do these things take place. When there is no ego, there is no mind, there is nowhere for these things to take place. When there is just the infinite, there is nowhere else for anything to happen. The infinite, that is self-contained reality. And there's no place for anything to go on. Yet again, becoming that puts you in a category that is completely and totally indescribable. There's nothing I can say about it. There's nothing I can do to make you see what I see, to experience. Be yourself. Do not try to prove anything. Do not try to find anything. I know Fred can say, in the Bible it says, seek and you shall find. But But to whom was this written for? It wasn't written for people who wanted to be enlightened or people who wanted to resolve their life and become totally transcendent. It was written for the masses. Sure, if you seek, you will find. But as you go into the higher truths, nothing was ever hidden. So there's absolutely nothing to find. And there's no seeker. Can't you see now when you have these quotations and these sayings and all these questions? There has to be a seeker. There has to be something to find, something to discover, something to become. When you realize there's nothing to discover, there's nothing to become, there's nothing to find, what else is there to do? Feel free to ask questions.
What I'm doing will bring about what's called enlightenment or awakening or any of the other words. But I do feel there are things that an individual can do that may bring about an intellectual understanding of some of these spiritual matters. Scripture, for example. Mm. In IA, we have what amounts to a confession step, where we admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. And we have one that takes care of making amends for the things that we have done that really call for an amend.
Mm.
And the reason I say that that can bring about a difference in the individual is really in my experience, in that not long after I did the confession is called a fifth step. Not long after I did the fifth step, I read in a book that all masters are one. They never contradict one another.
Mm.
That rang a bell with me, and it awakened an interest in Eastern philosophy. And I also did some ninth step stuff, which is making amends. And things became a lot clearer. They're still very much on a relative level, but they do seem clearer, And I can't help. And then, of course, through lots of admonition to spend time in prayer and meditation and trying to help the other guy, karma yoga, sure, and all that stuff. So I've said in AA talks that I have a very strong feeling that all of the masters, if we asked them what they thought of the 12 steps, they'd say, right on.
Sure.
But you agree with that?
Of course.
Thank you.
Okay.
But remember, that's on a certain level.
Yeah, that's right. It's relativity, of course, but it makes me feel good.
It's just like if a person is in kindergarten. Are you going to tell that person not to go to kindergarten? To go to college?
No.
So a person has to be where he is.
Each of us.
Exactly. So in kindergarten, he learns step by step to go to junior high school, to go to high school, and unfolds in that way. So it is with his steps and with everything else. Everything is good at that level. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But what we're talking about here is transcendence.
I did that, but it's nothing I can do. I just hope whatever it is. But then that would involve an individual being in that state and enjoying it. When the individual reaches that state, there's no more individual. So there's nobody to enjoy it.
Exactly.
That's what you've been talking about
tonight. Yes. So there's nothing wrong with what you're doing with the steps. That's great. But it's at a certain level.
Yeah.
Robert?
George?
I've been experiencing something maybe for the first time of probably responding to what maybe this is just presumptuous of me, but I kind of think I got a little taste of what you experienced. This constant letting go-ness of the body awareness. And in this state, I can see that anything that would come to me would bounce off. It would slough off. There'd be no emotional reaction because there's this constant remembrance of nothingness, of my nothingness. But the only, and so it's a beautiful feeling, but there's a but. The but is, damn it, I can't. I'm practically positive, practically 100% positive that I can't retain this feeling once I go out the door. But if I could, wow.
Do not concern yourself with this. Just let it happen. And do not think about it too much. Remember the you that everything bounces off doesn't exist. There's nothing to bounce. There are no bouncers. And there's no one for it to bounce off to. What you're talking about is a good step in the right direction.
I could see the emotion wouldn't even materialize.
Exactly.
The feeling wouldn't even materialize because I guess if there's no identification with the body, there's no need for the feeling to materialize.
Exactly. That's why.
That's what I'm longing for, is that unnecessariness to come up with an emotional reaction.
Mm. Well, you're getting there.
Yeah, but it's like.
No, don't qualify. Just.
I like to be honest with myself. I don't like to play games with my mind and think that this is going to last.
If you were honest with yourself, you would wake up.
You passed that one by me again?
If you were honest with yourself, you would wake up, you would be awakened. Because the honesty means that you are awake. This is the truth. The truth about you is that you are already enlightened.
I have to see the truth, and that you're equating seeing the truth as honesty, but seeing the truth is a big step.
When you see yourself as a human being, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah, I guess I never thought of that.
When you see yourself as having problems or something being wrong, that's when you're lying to yourself. That's why I say, do not go one way or the other way with it. Do not try to say, I can't lie to myself, or I'm lying to myself, or I'm this or I'm that. Forget about
But once I'm out of this room, I would feel like I'm lying to myself if I said, you don't have a body, I don't have a body.
Well, don't say that then. Don't say it. Just be.
I would be feeling my body so much, I wouldn't be able to feel my bodilessness. Just like now, I can feel my bodilessness so much that I can't feel my body.
Just observe yourself. Observe the condition you're in. Observe what's happening to you. But do not react. Do not come to any conclusions. Do not think this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. Just be. And let whatever happens, happen.
I just get disgusted with my inability to maintain this awareness.
Well, who gets disgusted? The ego. Try to remember that you can't expect to come to a class and all of a sudden you're going to become totally enlightened. That's possible. But let's look for anything like that. Just be here now. It's like a story that I tell you once in a while of Ramana Maharshi and his devotees. They were with him for 40, 50 years and nothing has happened to some of them. They just kept on going. They never think whether they're enlightened or they want to become enlightened or they don't want to become enlightened. They don't think about these things. They're just there. They're just being. They're not being this, and they're not being that. They're not being good, and they're not being bad. They're not being right, and they're not being wrong. They're not being enlightened, they're not being unenlightened. They're just being. So expect nothing. Do not look for anything. Just be. If you can live in that split second we were talking about, then there will be no past and there will be no future. But you're making good progress just where you are.
Split second seems to be being aware of the bodilessness of this.
In that split second there's really no one to be aware of it because it never existed. A split second is no thing, no thought, no idea, no conflict, no body, nothing. You're always trying to use your mind to understand what these things are, and you cannot use the mind. You've got to go way beyond the mind, where there's no judgment. There's no comparison. There's just that.
Sri Ramana told his people to think of him and leave the rest up to him.
Mm. Yes.
Pretty much what you said earlier.
Yes.
he asked one fellow, what brought you here? And the fellow said, thinking of you. And he told this man, that is your sadhana at this time.
Mm.
Or worse.
Mm.
Well, I might mention why I brought up the matter of karma and punishment or reward. Not long ago, I met a girl that had terrible emotional pain, and she had the idea that she was being punished for something that she had done. And I told her that she needn't, it would be small comfort, but she needn't feel that she's being punished, and that's the reason I wanted to check that point. Because we have this thing, as ye sow, shall ye reap, and people take it personally, where it might be better said, as it is sown, so shall it be reaped. Is that more or less?
That's also on that particular level.
Yeah, and on relativity.
We want to go beyond all this.
Yeah.
Forget about karma, reincarnation, punishment, judgment.
They're all in the mind.
They're all in the mind. And there's no mind. So where are they? They never existed. See, we're not really trying to get rid of the mind. There's no mind to get rid of. We're merely trying to awaken that fact. There never was a mind. The mind is another word for creation. There's no creation. There are many teachers that go into the ramifications of that, as I mentioned before. They talk about the three gunas and the five coverings and the food particles that you're made out of. And the seminal fluid and all that garbage. What good is it knowing these things? It's all mesmerism. Make it simple for yourself. Just feel that you've been hypnotized, and now you're becoming de-hypnotized. Don't go into too many details. Do not become too technical or too intelligent. It keeps you back. When you awaken, none of this will exist at all. We have announcements. Yeah, we're having the Bhandara this Sunday. Starts at 1 o'clock. Good food, song, happiness, joy. Bring your favorite dish. We have some delicious prasad, macaroons. Mm-hmm. I'll open this one. So I have one.